Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ah, yes, Bennett Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for rolling with us today. Coming up next, KT goes behind enemy lines. He is on Philadelphia radio. And we will find out how that went with some Eagles blowhards. But we always feel like we have the job that benefits most from the bravery and courage of our first responders, of our military. We just sit in front of a microphone and goof off together. And that's the ultimate freedom. And so for anybody out there who bravely goes out there into the world to fight for that freedom, we feel like the least we can do is open up our radio station and make it accessible to those guys at any point for anything they have going on. And one of those guys who we absolutely love is John Wayne Walding, who joins us now in studio. John, how you doing, brother?
I'm just living the great American dream, Ben. How are you?
Well, John, you've been on our show before. You are a guy who was named after John Wayne and born on the 4th of July. And a Green Beret. I mean, you are, I'm staring at an American flag when I look at you. You're a true hero. We love you. Thank you for your service to our country, man. And we just think you have an amazing story. So thank you for coming to join us in studio.
Oh, you're worth it. And the joke I always say is when people introduce me, you know, John Wayne Green Beret is, you know, I'm sorry I'm not taller. And
you actually make me wish I was shorter.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's right. An incredible but, life that you've led so far with a lot more to go.
Yeah, and giving you a hug is like hugging a rock. I mean, you're like made of rock. Let's go back to 2008, to the Battle of Shock Valley. For those that don't understand, put this picture in the frame for us. Explain what happened on that day in 2008.
Absolutely. Well, I was very fortunate to be on a team with some great Americans, some absolute wonderful soldiers. And I'm just this is not my story. This is my team story, right? I'm just a very, very small part of that story. But Operational Detachment Alpha, ODA 3336, it was the team, was my team name of Green Berets. And on April 6th, we went up against, it was about 10,000 feet above sea level, you know, is in April, right? So at 10,000 feet, you've ever been at that elevation in that spring, it's 30 degrees up there, and it's very, very rocky, it's very mountainous terrain. And the bullet points are, you know, 15 Americans, you know, went along with about 30 other Afghani counterparts. Well, we went up against 250 insurgents, and after 6.5 hours, there were 70 danger close to airstrikes. We had the Medal of Honor that was awarded, and we're just about to have another Medal of Honor that was awarded. The Air Force Cross was awarded, 8 Silver Stars, 8 Purple Hearts, but most importantly, 0 Americans killed. You know, 0 Americans would die after going against that long for that fight. And again, it's just a testament to the war fighters that we have out there that we will fight until the death for the person to our left and right. And again, I'm just humbled and blessed to be a small part of that team.
Now, was that the battle that also changed your life physically forever moving forward? If you would tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. Well, about halfway through the battle, you know, we were initiating Operation Human Shield, as I called it. We had 2 SF guys that were hit, Dylan and Luis. And I came back down from my position to, again, pretty much catch the bullets so the medic can keep them two alive. And I never will forget moving from one position to the next, and I felt something hit me in my right leg. I fell forward, then rolled over, and my leg was just hanging by a 45, you know, degree angle, just by an inch of flesh. Well, that hurt, right? And I never will forget the magnitude of what that did. I didn't just grab my Green Beret and tell my sergeant I'd had time to bleed. I did what any American, what any human would do. I screamed, I cried, I did the best that I could to compose myself that my leg is falling off, and now I'm bleeding to death. And fortunately, like I said before, I had some great brothers next to me, and David Sanders, he, you know, helped put my tourniquet on, and we got that taken care of.
And with all due respect, I don't mean to interrupt, but there's more details to it than that. You're tough as nails, and so you could put the tourniquet on, and you said we handled that. My understanding is you doubled your leg over behind your thigh, tied it off with a belt, and kept fighting.
Well, if you want to put it that way, yeah, we did. We took care of it. I just thought like a splint, right? I need to splint this because every time I would move, it felt like it'd re-injure the injury. And so I just grabbed my leg, what was left of it. I just folded inwards into my groin, which I said crotch on national TV. My wife loved that one, by the way. I never will forget. NBC Nightly News guy had a camera in front of my face, you know. He's like, "So what? Tell me what you did, Mr. Walden." I'm like, "Well, I'm a redneck." So I'm like, "Well, I put my boot in my crotch, you know." But anyway, not the sidebar.
How much longer did you fight after doubling your leg over behind your leg?
That was about halfway through. So 6.5 hours, about 3 more hours, wow. You know. And we started dropping danger close airstrikes. When I say danger close, I mean 1,000-pound, 2,000-pound bombs were fine, you know, dropping, you know, within 100 yards from our location, which, to put it in perspective, the closest you're supposed to be for a 2,000-pound bomb is about 1,000 meters, right, over 10 football fields stacked end to end, or a major terrain feature in between you. Well, they're dropping 100 yards on top of our heads.
God.
To stop them from fighting. And when that bomb would drop, literally, you know, like what's the Battle 300 where the arrows blacked out the sun? You know, it would get dark for a little bit because of all the debris. And during that cover, that's when we would actually fall off the backside of the mountain. You know, there are 15, 20-foot cliffs that we had to, you know, literally scoot and then either get lower down or just, you know, literally fall off the back to the base of the mountain. And first medevac bird came in, pilot got shot. I never will forget, we got drugged through the river in the middle of this wadi, which is a valley. I don't know why you change continents. A valley turns into wadi. But we're in the, you know, middle of this valley, and the helicopter's coming down, and he flies away. Well, we actually have audio of the pilot screaming. He says, I'm hit. I'm going south. And so he flies away. We're in the middle of the landing zone. We're getting shot up again. We had to get drugged back through the water to the base of the mountain. The second medevac bird comes in, which was just a, you know, UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter with some SF guys on there. And they just got off and we got on. I could hear the rounds impacting the helicopter as we were trying to get on there. And we lifted off, and it was great. Everything was good. But within 5 minutes, we had to do an emergency landing because that aircraft couldn't make it to the hospital. Because, you know, so I'm like, great, thanks, baby Jesus. You know, got gunshot, you know, hypothermia from the river. Now I'm going to die in a helicopter crash. But we made it out of there, and that's whenever I got to the hospital. You know, died a couple times, but I came back, and here we are.
So when it's such a crazy scene that you're describing, I mean, you live this, and I'm trying to imagine this. When they're coming in and they're dropping the bombs to basically get you guys out of there, are they doing that haphazardly? How strategic is that? Because how could they know possibly where every one of you guys are?
Well, they know where we are because of radio communication, and we can send up white smoke and let them know, you know, where we are, but they don't know where the bad guys are. That just shows the bravery of these pilots that are, you know, flying these helicopters into these, you know, these dangerous combat zones. I have the absolute utmost respect. I would rather be on the ground, you know, shooting at the bad guy than just be in the air in this big old elephant with rotors that's very easy to be, you know, a target. But they just came in, and just like the story says, the first pilot got shot, the second bird got shot down, and but they still came in and got it.
Well, first and foremost, we're talking to John Wayne Walding. Thank you for sharing the story again. And again, for us knowing you for a while, the last thing you ever want to talk about is yourself.
Right.
You're the first one to always talk about your brothers. And
well, I'm not that important anyway. I'm just a redneck from Grosbeck.
You're
right?
You're very important to us.
There's a lot cooler people than me.
You mean the world to us and our listeners and our country. So first of all, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your courage.
You're worth it.
And I want to ask you about this. Now you lost your leg, and then you became a certified sniper, which I believe you're the first Green Beret to ever do that.
Correct.
After you've lost your limb. And then you decided, oh, what the hell, I'm going to be a marathon runner. And then after that, you said, that's not enough. Now you run these death march marathons where you actually run a marathon, but you have to carry a bunch of weight around?
I get bored easy.
Yeah, it's probably hard to gain a thrill after everything you've been through. How do we create another thrill?
Right. My wife hates that too, because always whenever she's worried about us being late to church or whatever, I'm like, babe, we're not getting shot at. What's wrong? You know? It's like, that's not going to work anymore.
Okay. You know? Okay. Okay. You know, and one of the things in visiting with you or Ryan Birdman Parrott or some of the many of our listeners and friends that have, you know, dedicated their lives and made these sacrifices to protect our freedom, is that there, you know, once you come back from fighting, we have some things we need to do better for you guys. There's a lot we need to do better. And there are some awesome charities, and not to take anything away from any charities, we've always heard, and I may be speaking out of turn, so feel free to slap me. Just don't do it very hard. I've always heard that some of these military charities are not fully vetted, or maybe some of them are not as good as you would want them to be. And again, I say that with a grain of salt, but right. is that accurate?
It is. I mean, it's like that everywhere. There's great Americans in this country, and there's people that you would probably not want to be the face of our country. The same thing with the charitable organizations, not just on the veteran aspect, but you know, the some of the big names. I'm not going to name any, but you know, some of the big names out there, when you actually do your research, not much money goes to the actual products and services. And so, you know, the veteran side is not immune to that as well. But I'm an optimist guy, but the facts do show that the vast majority of them really are trying to do the right thing. And there's over 43,000 veteran, you know, 501c3 registered charities in the veteran market. So there's a whole lot out there to go through that and vet and make sure they're doing the right thing.
Well, and we're talking to John Wayne Walding here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. He has been on the show before. It's nice to have him on again. So I think this is a good way to talk about Live to Give, which I'm holding right now. And that is, why don't you describe what this is?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying, you know, Ben, whenever you said thank you for your service, you know, I didn't say you're welcome. I said you're worth it, right? You're worth fighting for. You, not America, you Americans. That's what I like to let everybody know, that this country is the best country that's ever happened to this planet in its existence. And it's because of the people inside it, the American people. And they are why I serve. They are why I deploy. They are why I sacrifice the holidays. They are, when given the opportunity, will absolutely come through every single day. And that's what we're providing with Live to Give. We're giving everyday Americans the opportunity to give back daily. And that's just by buying water. So it's a bottled water company. We're going up into the enhanced water space. And every bottle that you buy, we are going to give half the net profits to veteran and first responder charities that are vetted through us.
Half,
absolutely.
Let me just say, too, as I'm holding a bottle right now, and it'll be easy to see on the shelves, but it says your purpose here on the bottle. Live to Give provides you with American-made supplies while giving back 50% of profits to vetted charitable organizations aiding veterans, first responders. And it's all right here on the bottle. So when you go into the store and you see it and there's, you know, 8 or 9 different water bottles there in front of you, you know the choice to make. It's pretty easy, man. We all need water. And if you can drink water while helping out the cause, it's kind of a no-brainer.
How awesome is that?
It's
the best. How awesome is it to know that you're going to buy water and change lives? Like, that's why I'm here. I'm not here because I'm trying to make, again, we're giving half of it to charity, right? I'm here to know the lives that we're going to change. I mean, that's the reality. For me, losing my leg, I've been involved with a bunch of different charitable organizations that have just fundamentally changed my life for the better. And to be able to give back and provide Americans the opportunity to keep changing lives. Like, I don't like it when we say we're giving to charity, because that really tells you nothing, right? Well, here's an actual fact of what a charity did. There was a Green Beret that actually got blown up, and because of his injuries, they couldn't have a kid, right? They had problems with conceiving a child. Well, TRICARE doesn't pay for any in vitro process, but this charitable organization actually funded that, and because of that, they have a child now. Imagine the magnitude of what that does to your life, and everyday Americans are going to absolutely be able to say they were part of that by buying water, buying Live to Give. It's on Amazon right now. We got 20-ounce and 1 liters right now. And by all means, this is for first responders too, right? We have the National First Responder Day. That's coming around October 28th. And right now on social media, we're trying to do the largest ever thank you card, right? Because, yes, we veterans protect you from the home front. Well, they protect you in the home front, right? The law enforcement and the firemen and EMS are those that are here every single day. They go to work. They sacrifice every day. And we want to say thank you to them. Last year, they actually signed the first ever National First Responder Day, right? We have Veterans Day, Memorials Day. Well, October 28th is the first ever National First Responder Day. So what we're doing, we want 1 million signatures. We want 1 million Americans to come and sign, digitally sign. We're not asking any money from you. We're not asking anything. Just sign this card to tell these firemen, EMS, and law enforcement officers that we got your back. We thank you for your service. And I'm just excited to see how many we get. You know, hopefully we can blow that out of the water.
So let me get this straight. Is this Live to Give bottled water, is it more expensive than other waters, or is it about the same?
That's the great purpose of this. No, it's the same product, same price, same everything, same experience for you, the customer, other than, you know, whenever you look at that bottle of Live to Give, we're going to give half back. We're the one sacrificing, not you.
So you're saying, okay, as a company, we're just like every other water company, but we're going to take half our proceeds.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go donate. And I feel good about it, knowing that you're there, you're in charge. You're saying, hey, I'm going to go make sure these are worthy charities.
Absolutely. And we've already partnered with three of them. So there, you know, we have to, there's three different aspects. First of all, it's very hard for a for-profit, which we are for-profit, right? Just we're giving half of our profit away.
Yeah.
And to market with charities, it's very difficult from the legal aspect. You have to have co-ventures. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But because of the problems, we are the red tape. We partner with three. First, the first one is Folds of Honor. They give scholarships to Children of the Fallen and Wounded. I'm sure if you've heard of them, they're great. Major Dan Rooney is a great guy, great mission. We love everything that they're doing. They've already partnered with Budweiser to do their thing, so we knew that they had experience in the space of partnering with a drink company. The second one, which is near and dear to me, they're actually a local company here, Task Force Dagger. Task Force Dagger is the 911 for special operations.
Okay.
So whether that's Rangers, Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Marine Recon, Delta Force, you know, SEAL Team 6, whatever, all the cool guy hat, right? Anytime they ever get need assistance, Task Force Dagger is the 911 for them. And they're here locally, by the way. So that's a great, unique charity. Starts at home. So yeah, we'd like to start with a local chapter. And the third one is a great organization. It's called the Chive Charities. If you know the Chive Media Group, you know that they're very successful. Obviously, you know, reached 200 million eyeballs, right? Mm-hmm. Very, very successful in doing that. But they wanted to do more, and they started a charity called Chive Charities that gives to veterans, first responders, and to kids with disabilities. And that's something that obviously with the first responder need was hard for us to find a charity that one was national, right? Because we want to help everybody, and two, either helped or helps both firemen and first responder and EMS, and that's what they did. And we're just excited to have them behind us and excited to see the good that we are going
to
do.
Okay, live to give.
Live to give.
And
it's a great-looking bottle, baby.
It is. And if somebody out there is listening right there now, they're saying, all right, I'm in. So they can go to any local grocery store. They need to go online. They go to a website. How do people find out more? How do they get their hands on this bottle? So they can give 50% of their water purchase.
Well, right
to
now we're on Amazon.com. So okay, go on Amazon, and that's definitely the way to get to us right now. We're trying to get into stores. Come to find out, it's a little harder. It may be easier to fight the Taliban than it is to get into a grocery store.
Man.
Holy cow! I had no idea. You know, like what do I got to do around here?
Yeah.
But
you're doing a great thing. What are we doing here?
Exactly. What's your freedom worth?
Dear retailer, listen up. This is kind of a layup here, you morons.
This is the easiest decision.
What
of
are
all
we
time.
Doing?
Hey, do we want to carry this water and give half the proceeds to military charity?
I'm not really for the troops. I
want these water execs to get rich. I don't want to help them. What are we doing?
I'll give them an extra leg if they want it. Come on, I got plenty.
Oh no, you're gonna have to. No, we need you to keep one of your legs.
Yeah, so we're trying to get in. We're talking to a lot of the major retailers right now for both the C-store and the grocery and everything, but hadn't got in yet, but we're going to.
Man, we're proud to even know you, proud to be in. I know that, look, he immediately gets uncomfortable. He doesn't want to talk about himself.
I'm going to do some push-ups later. I'm inspired, man.
We love you. Thank you for everything. We're grateful. We have your back on anything you do, any charity, anything you got going. You have this radio station at your disposal. You just tell us what you need. We got you.
And you're worth it. God bless you.
Hey, hold on. What is a social media account? Do you have something that you can put out there? Because people are tweeting in. And
yeah, what do they want to find it? Is it the
Drink
website?
Live to Give is our social media account.
Drink Live to Give.
Drink Live to Give.
Drink Live to Give. We'll put that out there on our social media as well. We'll get all the websites out there. But again, if you want to support John Wayne Walding in this water and our military, then go to Amazon and buy you some Live to Give water. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes, John Wayne Walding. What a badass.
All right, thank you, Shippy. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. A lot of folks hitting us up on the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. If you jumped in the middle there and didn't hear that, that is John Wayne Walding. And again, the bottle of water is called Live to Give. And, you know, it's so funny because all this stuff is, you know, we're rolling in on election season and you're going to see all these debates and people talking. It's a really very simple thing to improve the life of others to take. We're not talking about 50% of revenue. We're talking about 50% of profits, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we get in here and we have all these discussions, this is like pro-capitalism, baby. We're talking about 50% of profits. How greedy do you need to be? It drives me crazy. And I know a lot of our listeners have been affected by this, where they work for a corporation and the corporation lays off people because the profits aren't as high. Not they're losing money, the profits aren't as high. And that is just the embodiment of greed. And so if you can still make money and greatly improve people's lives, that should be the goal for everybody. We're not asking you to go into the red here, right? We're asking you to continue to make money, but some of that money you make is going to benefit all these other people. It's just such a no-brainer. So you're going to hear a lot of people barking and talking loud and all this rhetoric. It ain't that hard. You just got to be willing to do it. All right, we're going to get into the NFL officiating situation coming up at noon. Dean Blandino will join us, and that's always good. Going to get into the Jason Garrett conversation that was so lively on the morning show today. You had Mike Fisher in for RJ, who is recovering from strep, and it was a really good conversation. We'll get into the Jason Garrett. What's his value? How did the people around the league feel about him? Coming up at 11:40. But this morning, our own Kevin Turner Fun Tweets got up early. And as he is apt to do whenever we play the Eagles, he went on the whip.
That's a lot of good stuff there.
And talked to that giant cartoon calzone, Angelo Cataldi, who sounds exactly like Family Guy.
That's a lot of good stuff there. He's a bomb. Fire him.
Whenever he does that long, he's thinking of the next word to say. But how'd it go this morning, Kevin?
I mean, I'll let you guys be the judge. I don't know. I like to comment on my own interviews. I mean, I think I rocked it out. But
hold on. Did you sell out? And did you go pro Eagles? Or did you get in his face and tell him the Cowboys are the greatest team in the history of ever?
You know, I thought real hard about this because I was thinking I could do a bit. I could get the Cowboys back and really shove it in the face of Eagles Nation, but my vibe is that Cowboys fans are pretty down on things right now. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel like that was the right thing to do.
Lewis!
But I made sure not to go pro Eagles either. So, I said, you know what? Just go be yourself. Answer the questions honestly. And here's how I was introduced as... Well, here's the intro. Let's play that first.
I don't have in front of me the information on Kevin Turner. Could you please identify... Yes. Oh, I got it right here. He's from 105.3, The Fan in Dallas. This is the finest talk show host in Dallas, which is like being the tallest midget in the circus. But he is terrific. And his name is KT. Hi, KT!
Hey, how's it going, Angelo? Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, my God.
Hi, KT!
That is such an amazing drop forever.
God, forever.
You know what? I love Cataldi and I love the whip because of all the great drops they give us.
Yeah. Hi, KT!
Hi, KT!
He's so excited. Look, he's like a big old dog wagging his tail.
Maybe Hi, KT!
Maybe he's an animated dog coming jumping up as you walk in the door.
If you could like put a vocalizer on a dog, if KT gets home and his dog's wagging his tail, and that's what this is exactly what KT's dog would say when KT gets home.
Hi, KT!
Hey, dog. All right.
Hi, KT.
But to make it more fun, it'd be great if it was actually just like a hamster with that giant voice.
Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, thanks for having me. I was real tired, too. It was 7 a.m. Next cut, Shippy. I don't really know what these cuts are, so go ahead.
What's the mood in Dallas after three straight losses, including to the Jets?
I mean, the city's on fire. Everyone wants Jason Garrett's head cut off.
Wow. So you're killing him yourself right now, Kev?
Oh, my God, yes. I have for 5 years. It's time.
Right, what are the specific criticisms of the coach of the Cowboys, Jason Garrett?
Okay, so, man, I don't know if we have time for all this.
Wow.
My God.
Wait, did you add the wow after the laugh, Shippy? That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Full asthma attack.
Thanks to Troy, by the way, for cutting that up this morning. Troy chopped all this up. Yeah, it was a lot of, dude, they like me. They like me a lot.
I like you.
Okay. And, you know, it got contentious with the station a couple years ago.
They like you more than anyone's ever liked anything.
They got contentious with me a couple years ago on the Greg Hardy thing because they wanted to kill us for that. But like in general, they like me. I don't know why. I really don't know why.
Cause you're sexy, dude.
But here's the next one. I guess there's more talking about Garrett. Yeah.
What's maddening is your coach goes on your show or whatever and does the whole, he didn't guarantee victory, but hey, we're going to win. You know?
Right. Right.
Well, you asked Jason about it and here's what Jason said. He goes, I'm just looking forward to Sunday night. Got a game Sunday night. Great game. Well, it's like, would you say something that, like, makes us think that you're a genuine and real person? Like, at some point.
Oh, I love this. This is great.
Now,
in fairness, he has no idea what the pulse of the city is. And so as he's blown away by these really non-shocking things that you're saying, he just doesn't understand the context.
And it's, again, Troy cut this up, but there's a point in there, I think, where I said, and your coach sniffs his own farts, and, you know, that's the Doug Peterson way. Doug Peterson, who's 3-for-10 on fourth downs, but somehow was called a genius 2 years ago. I mean, somehow.
What is the fart thing you're saying?
He sniffs his own farts. He sniffs himself. You know, I think Doug Peterson's a little cocky. Nice guy, though. I'm a big fan of Doug Peterson.
I like him. He's an engaging interview. You know, I think he makes crazy decisions.
You say it as if sniffing someone else's farts is like a more sophisticated way.
Well, no, like bounce off the Dak thing. He's sniffing himself a little bit. So he's sniffing his fart a little bit, and he's going to go for it on fourth down again. Like last week against the Vikings, they ran a fake field goal, and it did not work out well for the Eagles. It didn't work out well.
Yeah, he's also the guy that he'll start burning timeouts when the other team has the ball and is in field goal range, thinking he's going to get it back and march down. Like, he does crazy stuff.
Yeah. And then I guess here's the last cut. Well, there's some overlapping, more overlapping.
Is it reciprocal? Have we now emerged as the team in the division that Dallas hates the most?
Oh, yeah, right now. I mean, I think it goes around, like, right? It was the Giants a few years ago. You know, it changed, especially when you guys somehow won that Super Bowl. I'll never know. I'll never know how.
All right, was he on delay? I mean, why was there the long delay there? Was he just realized? Why was that so funny?
I do think this, because, you know, people start talking about fake laughter. I think he's genuinely amused. I don't think he can just generate that type of fake laughter like
so
that.
So I think they don't have that many entertaining phone calls in Philadelphia, because a guy tweeted me and he said, hey, all Philly sports listener, your sports radio listener, that was a legendary call. And I'd retweet him. I said, legendary?
This is talk show host in Dallas.
All we did is talk about the same crap we talk about all day. Like, I didn't do anything different.
Can you imagine if they tuned in for a four-hour show, their brain would just bleed everywhere out of shock?
But yeah, they go do Flyers talk up there and stuff. Like, they do hockey and stuff as well.
Wow.
But it's mainly Eagles.
So did you do any, were you combative? Did you do anything, but did you, I mean, you pretty much just agreed with them on everything.
Yeah, you know, at this
point. Why they love you.
Well, so I ended it in a way that I saved. I said, thank you very much for having you on. They did the whole thing. And then I said, yes, awesome. Thanks for having me. I know our stations both got crossways a couple years ago. And I think it's great that I can come on your show and then we can have civil discourse about the Cowboys beating your ass this week.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Is civil discourse?
Yeah, I don't think he knew what that was.
So you stuck the landing.
I stuck the landing.
You know what? I'll give you credit for it, too. He desperately wanted you to say that all we care about here is the Eagles.
Yeah.
And you were like, nah.
It's kind of the Giants.
Kind of rotates around.
I mean, it's like we really don't care. You know, that's why I didn't want to play into the, because I'll probably go on with them later in the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to play into the you're worried about the Eagles vibe.
Right.
Because I was making fun of them. I was like, man, we should just all start tanking or something. Because they're both 3-3 and in first place.
You weren't going to entertain their agenda.
No.
You were just like, the Cowboys issues are more Cowboy issues, not Eagle issues.
Yeah, they wanted me to go down a trail of killing the Cowboys and at some point praising the Eagles. And it just didn't seem like that was a good thing to do since everyone's 3-3 and again in first place Sunday.
Damn, Eagles, can you please one up the freaking Cowboys for your boy?
That was a quote. That was a tweet from someone.
All right. Years back. Speaking of trashing the Cowboys, let's get into folks trashing Garrett. What is his value? A big discussion broke out on the station, and we will get to that next, right here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Dean Blandino joins us in 16 minutes, right here on the Ben.
Dean Blandino!
Ben does that 4 or 5 times whenever we have Dean Blandino on, so he will do it once again. This tweet, boys, from one Dane Brugler.
That's not his name.
Nick Bosa is averaging a pressure every 9.35 snaps. That's a crazy rate and easily ranks number one in the NFL amongst players with 150-plus snaps. Here's the list. Bosa, 9.35. And then Khalil Mack is number two, 11.19. You have a tie at 13.67. Marcus Davenport and Brian Sick Burns. And then number five on that list, Robert Quinn, 13.71. Wow. He is getting a quarterback pressure every almost less than 14 snaps. He's all over it, and yet there's not near enough pressure. And so you're just, the other guys on the line are not stepping up, because for that one guy to be doing it at such a high rate, that means that teams are thinking about it and dealing with it. It should open up opportunities for other guys to eat, and it's just not happening yet. All right, let's talk about the Jason Garrett situation, boys. It's been a hot topic of conversation on the station this week specifically. We go through the ebbs and flows of a season, and, dude, it's always a topic. It's been a topic for years now. But it's kind of taken on a new tone with this idea of, what does Garrett do? What's the point of having him? Is he putting the clamps on Kellen Moore? Does he want to continue being here? All of these different kinds of parts of the conversation. And that was really, Ben, that was about 80% of what we talked about with Jerry Jones yesterday.
Yeah, and I think, because we had, we had 10 questions, and it was easily the majority of them were about Jason Garrett.
Right.
You know, I think Kellen Moore is getting a little bit of a free pass in all this, as things were looking good in the first 3 weeks, and he was the boy wonder, and now things aren't looking good, and it's, oh, Garrett must have snuck back in there. And there's even conversations, I hear him on the radio about, well, is Garrett's mouth moving before the play call? Is he calling? He's not calling plays. And
I thought he was yawning before plays.
I talked to somebody very much in the know of how these things go, and they were a little critical of Kellen Moore, just saying, hey, he's just going through some growing pains here. But ultimately, I think more than anything, the Cowboys' offense is fine. You know, they've had some inopportune fumbles. Those fumbles crushed them.
Yep.
And now they're dealing with massive injuries. And we sit here and we talk about the offense. And going into that last week's game, they were the number one offense in the league. Yet we still talk about the offense more than anything. The defense is the problem.
Right.
The defense is the problem, and it's the defensive tackles. It's the linebackers. It's not getting pressure, and it's the same old thing, not getting turnovers. But the offense is good enough to win a Super Bowl right now, even with its flaws.
I totally agree. And it's just going to come down to health. And the reason why, for example, the Saints' loss is so frustrating is because they should have won the game. And then in the NFL, there's only 16 of these things. So when you blow opportunities, well, then a week later, you're missing your tackles, for example. Like, that's just the way an NFL season goes. When the Eagles were piling up all these injuries at the beginning of the season, it was, well, man, you better build the gap now, because they have an easy schedule down the stretch and their guys are eventually going to get healthy. That's the ebb and flow of a season. We're sitting here talking about, look at all these unwinnable games. Well, if you go into that game and their quarterback's hurt, it's a totally different ball game. You never know from week to week how injuries are going to impact the dynamic of the season. So when you're there and you have a chance to win, you can't blow it. You can't have two fumbles at midfield when you're playing the Saints. Saints didn't even score a touchdown in that game. They didn't even score a touchdown. Or you're playing the Packers, can't have all those interceptions when Aaron Rodgers doesn't even have to use his wide receivers. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't have any. Yeah. Like, those are games that you need to take care of business. And so the Cowboys haven't been able to take care of business, and so now everything seems more daunting. And so now the conversation that happens annually about Garrett is now happening before we get to Halloween because of fiddle farting around early in the season, and now everyone looks at it like it's the end of the world.
I do agree. The defense is what we need to be focusing in on, because the offensive injuries, and by the way, Travis not at practice today due to personal reasons. So Joe Looney, your center, at practice today. Knight and Fleming are your tackles.
Jeff Swim, like, do you want to get in on this, bro?
It feels like Cooper won't play. I tend to start looking at, like, longer-term tendencies, and there's a few things that in the recent Jason Garrett era that come to mind. One of those things is not being able to win games when you're missing some key players, and I'm going to throw it on the offensive side and the defensive side. We saw what happens when Tyron doesn't play. We know that. It's going to be tough to replace. We saw the defense. We felt the world was collapsing every time Sean Lee would miss a game,
right?
You know, back in the day.
Right.
And that was something that you have to get over, because everyone deals with it and everyone finds a way to get through it. And that's been a problem. I mean, I'm not saying those are just a few examples. You can look, you know, all across the roster, and I'm sure they've won games missing good players. But that's something that I think is very, I guess it's disturbing about the Jason Garrett era, is the inability to really hold down the fort when big time players get hurt.
Well, earlier today, I was listening to this conversation that broke out on Sean and RJ, and the idea was, would Jason Garrett be coveted as a head coaching candidate? And let's just, Jerry's word wasn't coveted, though. Jerry's word was, would he be sought after?
He said
after?
Sought after.
So would Jason Garrett be sought after? Coveted is what drew me offsides. The idea that Jason Garrett would be coveted. I'm like, for what reason? Coveted would mean, oh my God, five teams want him. He's available. Now he goes and chooses what team he wants. It's the Jason Garrett sweepstakes. I can't see that happening. You know, it's the same thing if there's a bad head coaching candidate and one team would hire him, then okay, he's sought after by one team. So we're really semantics. Now, would Jason Garrett, like if it was me, like we have vast knowledge of the situation here. So if I was running another organization with what I know about Jason Garrett, you would bring Jason Garrett in because of the things he does well. He's really good with the process. He's really good at making guys buy in. The Nick Saban, let's show up every day, do your job. Guys buy in. To this point, nobody's quit on Jason Garrett. He's really good. He shines in moments of adversity. He's an incredible human being with tremendous character. He's a leader, but he's not a dynamic personality. He's not a game day manager. He's not really going to help you on game day. He's not going to run your offense. He's not going to run your defense. So he's really the process guy through the week. A team that would need Jason Garrett would already need to have a really good defensive coordinator and a really good offensive coordinator, because Garrett's not going to help you in either of those capacities. And so it would be a team that has a good offensive coordinator, a good defensive coordinator, and neither one of them is ready to be promoted to head coach. And neither one of them are good enough that another team would seek to steal them so they don't have to promote them to head coach to keep them in the organization. So knowing what I know about Garrett, it would be a real hard fit to find a team that just needed a guy to handle the process during the week, and he was so good at that that you're willing to have, okay, he's not very good on game day, but he's so good during the week, it's worth it. We're so organized. It would be a really hard fit to find that. The idea that he would be sought after, okay, there's a lot of terrible coaches in the league. So if you want to get into the semantics of would Jason Garrett ever be able to be a head coach again, look, Jim Tomsula had a job. Somebody would hire Garrett at some point. I, for one, do not believe there would be a massive Jason Garrett sweepstakes the minute he was available.
I think Jason Garrett will be a head coach next year, not here. I think he'll be a head coach next year for the reason that Jerry Jones says when he comes on the air here. Jerry Jones says, man, you should hear Jason tell us how the reasons they lost. It's stunning. Jason Garrett's going to go into a meeting, and he's going to go into a meeting to interview for that job, and he's going to wow them. And for all the things that Ben just brought up, he's going to say, you guys don't realize how hard it is to coach in Dallas with Jerry and Steven making every decision. And then he's going to point to his offensive numbers when he was an offensive coordinator and Romo was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to say, there have been 183 coaches in the history of the NFL that have coached 50 games or more. He has a better winning percentage than of those 183, 133 of them. He's in the top third in the history of the NFL in winning percentages for coaches over 50 games. So we can talk about all the things that we talk about on the air that drive us crazy about Garrett. You guys know how I feel about Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been my coach 3 years ago. I can't have a coach that doesn't know how to use his timeouts personally.
Yeah.
But he's going to go in there and he's going to interview the balls off of that thing. This is a league in which Vic Fangio got the head job in Denver after being turned down about, what, five times? Vic Fangio's been a candidate for a decade or whatever, and finally is like, well, we're out of guys. Freddie Kitch is in Cleveland. Jason Garrett, there's going to be six or seven head coaching jobs, and Jason Garrett's going to go interview incredibly well, and he's going to get a job.
I don't think he'll be coveted, but I think there's a good chance that a job falls in his lap, because that's what happened to Adam Gase when they wanted Matt Rhule and Cliff Kingsbury. Okay, that's what happened. If you remember the story of the Packers coaching search, they interviewed 10 guys, and on the flight home after the LaFleur interview, they went, yeah, I guess. It's in the no Sean McVay, so okay. The Bengals, once they decided to finally get rid of Marvin Lewis, they got Zach Taylor because he knew Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all those little things like that. The Fangio thing's a good example, I think, and I'm thinking about all the jobs that are open. One that would make a lot of sense, I think, Atlanta. There's Cowboys front office ties to Atlanta. I think Atlanta could make sense for him to be the walk-around head coach.
About San Diego.
They have their own San Diego. Jacksonville. Well, L.A. now.
That owner of the Chargers is going to ask Jerry Jones. They're tight. He helped him get that stadium. He's going to ask Jerry Jones about him, and Jerry Jones is going to say, that guy's going to turn your organization around. I wanted to keep him forever, but we just couldn't do it anymore. He's going to have a job next year. If he wants it, he will have a job, I think.
That's pretty pathetic for the league, too, if that's the case. I don't know one thing that he necessarily does well outside of he's organized and he's a good dude. It's crazy.